Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
John, you are improving. That was a good shot.
Glub, 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 glub went the Darwinist boat to the HMS Beagle. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look and sometimes a serious look at the issues of evolution and creation, and sometimes they're a little lightheaded, and as the nights go on and we record these things, sometimes it can get real lightheaded.
Well, we hope this is not one of those times, unless it's fun and accurate and
informative.
You know, informative, because we want to be informative.
Informative.
And that is what we are here at Sink the Beagle, especially as we promote creationism, because we are unabashed.
Unashamed. In your face.
We believe in science. We believe in scripture.
Good
and not necessarily
and
in that order. But anyway, okay.
Hey, Stan, today you know I like wood.
You
and
do?
So I
you
like our subject today.
With wood.
I make things with wood. When I see a tree, I don't just see the beauty and the shade and the wonders of it.
What
I
do
see
you see?
Board feet and cordwood. What can be made with this tree?
Oh, man, you're not environmentally friendly, John.
Yes, I am, because you replant the forest and you grow another more board feet and more cordwood. It's a renewable resource and it should be properly managed.
Well, we're talking about trees today. In fact, we're talking about two trees in specifics.
That's a good one, too.
They are both trees of life.
One is a Darwinian tree of life. And the other is the creationist tree of life, so
to
speak.
That's right. That's right. Now, obviously, for those of you who are creationists, we assume many of you are, you probably are already correctly suspecting we're referencing the Genesis and the Revelation trees of life that are talked about there, God planted for the benefit of mankind. But we want to kind of spend more time on the other tree of life.
The other tree of life is the evolutionary explanation that somewhere in our distant past we had one common ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
And from that one common ancestor the tree eventually then divided. It became life with one. The trunk divided and became two, maybe plant and animal, and they began to divide as they kept going up. And most of high school biology textbooks show this ever-branching tree of phyla of life, of showing the various breakdowns of human, animal, plant, etc.
Now, this is all based on the geologic column, the Bible for evolutionists, what they feel the fossil record shows, at least that's what they say. Supports this idea that Darwin purported and put in his first book, Origin of Species, published in 1859. It has this tree that starts off with simple life and evolves through the ages into the complexity and the many variations that we see today. That's what we want to look at.
There's trouble, though, in that tree.
There's trouble
there's
in that tree.
There's termites in that there trunk.
What's hanging up there in the branches?
Actually, it's not in the branches. It's in the trunk of the tree.
In the
Cambrian layer of the tree, of the fossil record.
Okay.
There is this thing called the Cambrian explosion. Some people call it the Big Bang of evolution. But the whole point is that there is some science, good science, going on by good scientists in good places like China.
Like China. Now, in China in particular, and if any of you are following even like National Geographic and some of the more popular journals, you will notice that it doesn't seem to be too many issues until you hear yet another discovery being made in China in the fossil record, because they're really digging it over there and they're finding fabulous fossils, absolutely spectacular fossils. And in one area in particular, they're real zeroing in on the Cambrian area. And what are they finding there, John?
They're finding an explosion in the numbers of species that are there at the lowest fossil layer.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding so many species that there is actually some scientists in China who are thinking that the tree of life, instead of branching out from a single
source,
is actually shrinking at the top because of extinction, and we have less species in existence today than there were at the beginning. And so you had an explosion of numbers of species they find on the bottom layer, and fewer today. So actually they turned the tree upside down from a pyramid with the point down to a pyramid with the point up.
Okay. Well, and that's the problem. The evidence does not support the evolutionist's view of the tree of life. It doesn't correspond with the facts. In fact, when you say Cambrian, what we're talking about is, geologically speaking, we don't believe these dates, but they believe life suddenly appeared, maybe science too, suddenly appeared at 530 to 520 or so million years before present. And in that very narrow window of less than 10 million years, literally tens of thousands of species of very complex animals mm-hmm. suddenly appear in the geologic column. You know, we've talked about trilobites before on Sink the Beagle, one mm-hmm. of the most complex animals, and yet they're immediately seen. There's nothing below the Cambrian level in the rock strata that indicates life, really, hardly at all. It's kind of like no life at this level, and suddenly everything.
And what's amazing too about the Chinese, by the way, who are doing mm-hmm. who are the one of the top paleontologists in the world, is a Chinese gentleman who even mm-hmm. questions some of the hominid species and the things mm-hmm. that are going on there. But what's mm-hmm. interesting is that I think the Chinese are onto something. Okay. They've discovered that Americans, dyed-in-the-wool evolutionary American fundamentalist religionist scientists,
yes,
want to find missing links between dinosaur and bird so bad that these Chinese have gotten pretty good at manufacturing. They sold National Geographic a bill of goods a few years ago. Yes. And what's happening is they're good capitalists over there. They're saying, we got to make some money before people start chucking this whole theory of evolution. So they're a real creative group over there. They're getting into capitalism and making fossils while they still have a chance. Well, not really. That's not the most of them aren't doing that, but they're are sure. a few reputable ones who'll sell you what you want to buy if you're looking for it hard.
Yeah, but
enough.
It's not the scientists over there digging. And what they are finding is this tremendous complexity at the lowest level. It is like you said, the tree is upside down. And in fact, ever since almost the earliest periods of time, we're finding more and more extinctions. We're losing species. In fact, as we are sitting here, there may be extinctions going on in the world today.
We're lopping off branches, not adding new branches.
Darwin's view was, given enough time, the diversity would be off the scale. We just get more and more and more.
Even with our genetics today, where we're trying to clone things and stuff, we're still having sheep, we're still having just dogs, yeah. there are no new species that are ever known being created or formed or ever have been created
right.
or formed
right.
with our knowledge. All we know is that there's less species, which would account for the trimming of the tree, so to speak,
yes,
of the Darwinist life.
And been going on pretty much unstopped since the Cambrian explosion.
If it keeps going on the way it's going, I guess the prediction would be there's pretty soon going to be a stump with that does not fork.
Well, and just you and me standing here looking at each other.
Yeah, that would be that'd be a lone.
That's disappointing, isn't it?
Yes. What an end.
So at the Cambrian explosion,
yeah.
32 of 35 of the phyla, the known phyla of animals.
Are already there.
So 90% of the basic types already are leaping out at
that
us.
That we have confirmed and found. Mm-hmm. Which is really makes you wonder. It mm-hmm. makes people think that maybe mm-hmm. this layer didn't form and explode and everything evolved out of this layer. Maybe there's some other reasons of how this layer mm-hmm. got laid down, mm-hmm. which is what we creationists would say.
Yeah, maybe the flood might have something to do with that. Well, Darwin was aware of the Cambrian problem.
Yes, he was.
Even in his day, he knew that below Cambrian, there were no fossils to speak of.
But wait a minute. The Chinese have looked below the layer because they said that there would be, if any fossils were below, they would have had to have been soft invertebrates and they wouldn't have left no record.
Yes.
But the Chinese have dug below the Precambrian layer, and behold, what do they find?
They find little tiny sponge embryos, or the really
microscopic complex fossils.
And yet beautifully preserved. And the point of them being beautifully preserved means that if there was anything else around, if there had been any other kind of animal, it would have been preserved. So the material that preserved these sponges, these microscopic-sized sponges, would have preserved anything else had it been there.
Had it been there, which points to these scientists saying that there is no transitional species in the fossil record anywhere that they have found.
Now, Darwin was hoping, and in his day, there weren't quite as many fossils, of course, known, but there was enough known that the Cambrian was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He was hoping that in time, with more research, more digging, more collecting of specimens, that those
more
missing links,
going out and looking,
there would be
Johansson's
more evidence.
And others.
Yeah, there would be more evidence to support his theory. And in fact, over time, the more discoveries have shown that it's a bigger problem than ever.
It's the biggest problem he's ever had. And he actually talks about saying that if this is not so, then my theory fails. If you can find these things.
Yes.
And
yes.
In several places he gives statements saying that if you can find this or don't find that or whatever, my theory falls flat in its face.
Yes, if you can't find evidence of minor changes over time,
which is
Darwinian evolution.
Yeah.
Lots of little changes over long periods of time into new species. Then he said, my theory is to be rejected.
Yeah, and then he also said that if you can't also prove that some part could not evolve over minor changes over time.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like that goes back to Michael Behe's book with the irreducible complexity. My theory would be debunked. And we have found both situations where that debunk his theory. And yet
we're not hearing a lot of debunk cries from the evolution crowd. Yep, we've been debunked.
We're being debunked. I guess we got to start over because
we've got to change our minds.
Could you imagine the humility it would take for the scientific community to ever just say, you know, we might be wrong.
Quiet.
Yeah. We might be wrong. Don't say too loud.
This is Alchemy 2.
Alchemy 2.
It's a revisit to the whole world of alchemy.
We're going to call it a new textbook.
No. And, of course, we are having fun here at Evolutionist's Expense. But this is, again, one of as so many evolutionists have long said, the evidence is clear from the fossil record that evolution has taken place. And yet we feel, as, again, you know, very, very biased people.
Strongly
creation-oriented folks. That the evidence instead proves that there suddenly appeared these animals and they were suddenly wiped out, which again
supports
a flood in the Genesis account.
Yes. Stan, we have a torpedo text that we like to just kind of summarize and wrap up our program with today, I think, a little bit, and it talks about life. What does it say? Read it to us.
Well, we talked about the evolutionist tree of life, and you know that's supposedly the record of
Let's
give
the real
through
tree
history.
Of life last word.
Let's do it. This is from Revelation 22. We usually quote Genesis, but let's go to the other end of the Bible. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Ah, the
What's
real
interesting,
tree.
The
life.
Real tree of life is that life comes from a generous God, and that instead of pond scum, it talks about a clear river, which is a whole lot nicer origin in the sense that we're not out of a river.
We didn't crawl out of the water.
It talks
Great
about
grandpa.
A God who spoke at one time our world into existence.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible amazingly tells that something went wrong in the very first chapters. It describes that sin was the real problem, that because of sin and the violence, the world had to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And thus...
And there was a tree of life at that time.
There was a tree of life.
And it was meant to sustain us with eternal life. But now at the end of all things, when God recreates the world and restores all that was lost, including you and me, listener, and John and everyone we hope that's ready for that day, we will be restored and have that beautiful tree of life replanted and growing beautifully again, providing eternal life for those who partake of the fruit.
Yeah, what evolution teaches, their tree of life explains, they think, the origin. Our tree of life sustains the creatures that God has made.
I like
and
that
tree
better.
And we hope that you will pick that fruit. You will partake of the sustaining, the life-giving, the joy-giving tree of life instead of the one that just says, well, you're just a bunch of scum.
Ugh.
So we hope you learn these wonderful lessons and be part of the right tree, or at least pick from the right tree one day.
Yes.
On another, we'll talk about it again on another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. If you have comments, questions, or requests for Dr. John or Dr. Stan, you can email them at hudahoe@mindspring.com. That's hudahoe, H-U-D-A-H-O, @mindspring.com. Be sure to listen in next time to Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.